YouTube. Yeah, no. What is on the screen when you're watching TV or you're watching Netflix or
Sky Sports News?
Sky Sports News. Okay. Yeah. Anybody watch The Investigators? Anybody watch Horrible Histories or Art Ninja? What programs do you watch? Come on, shout them out. Sorry, what was that? Garfield, brilliant. Yes, Garfield, really good. Paw Patrol. Chase is on the case. Somebody shouted at the back there. PJ Masks. Brilliant, yeah, PJ Masks.
Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Yeah. Never seen it. It has been on my television screen, but I immediately leave the room. So maybe you watch your programme, or maybe there's your favourite film, and you're really looking forward to watching it. But maybe, like me, sometimes I'm watching a programme and I'm asking myself, have I seen this before? Does that ever happen? You start to watch something, you think it's new, and then you think, actually, I've seen this before. For me, what happens is I've fallen asleep halfway through or somewhere, and then I'm watching it again. It's vaguely familiar. Has it ever happened to you? You think, I'm not sure if I've seen this one. And maybe go on that next screen. We get it? Is there like a Netflix image? Brilliant. Maybe as Rosa was reading the Bible passage this morning, some of the things that she was saying in Mark's Gospel that Mark was telling us might have sounded a little bit familiar. You might have thought, I've heard this one before. You might want to turn up the volume and lean in close and listen and pay really close attention, because as you hear what's going on right at the start of Mark's Gospel, you might think, this sounds really familiar to me. There's a wilderness. There's a prophet in the wilderness. There's lots of people following this prophet. And there's lots of water. And the prophet is in the water. It's almost as if that people are slaves. And if they go to this prophet and follow this prophet and get baptized and go through the waters, then they will pass from slavery to freedom, from death to life. Is there any story, not in Mark's Gospel, that's a little bit like this that you've heard before? Anywhere else in the Bible? There's a clue on screen. Do you know? Yeah, Moses. It's a story of Moses and the Exodus as he leads his people from slavery in Egypt to the Red Sea. And it's just, if they go forward and the Red Sea's there, what happens normally if you just go into the sea for a long period of time?
You get
right, the medical diagnosis. Right, if you go underwater, it's game over. So for Moses, he looks around at his people that he's leading, and God has brought him to this point. He's thinking, my enemies are behind me, the water's in front of me. The only thing that is going to happen here is I'm going to die. Either my enemies are going to kill me or I'm going to go into the water and drown. And then God provides a way of salvation. How many options are there available for Moses if he wants to be saved? How many ways of salvation? Let's have a girl answer in this time. It's a very simple question, right? You can even check it with someone sitting beside you and make sure you've got it right. How many opportunities or ways of salvation are there for Moses? Just shout out. You need to put your hand up. Keith, how long have you been teaching Sunday school for? How many ways of salvation? One. Brilliant. Right answer. For Moses leads people through one way of salvation. And here in the New Testament, in Mark's Gospel, we've got a story that looks really similar, because there are people following a prophet, they're in a wilderness, and there's water. This is what is going on. Mark is deliberately telling the story to make us think back to the story of the Exodus. Here at the start of Mark's Gospel, we're introduced to Jesus, who is God's only Son, and he's the one way that we can pass from slavery to sin to be free completely. He's the one way that we can pass from death to life if we trust in him. He's the only way that we can be clean. Anybody here have a messy bedroom? Not looking at anybody in particular. Right? Does anybody have a messy bedroom? Does anyone ever say to you, you know, you've got to tidy up that room? Who's left this mess? Oh, there's a hand up here. Very honest person. Brilliant. Really good. Does anybody here know what you would use this for? Cleaning? Cleaning anything in particular? The carpet. It's to clean the car. You would use that with some car wash to clean the car. What if the dishes were dirty? What would you use to clean the dishes? Do you know what? A dishwasher? Should have brought a dishwasher tablet, shouldn't it? You maybe use something. You might, right? Your grandparents maybe use this, okay? My granny told me about it. I use a dishwasher too, right? Very liquid. What about if your teeth were really dirty? What would you use, or what should you use to? Toothpaste and a toothbrush. That's what you use to clean your teeth, right? What about if the windows were dirty? I know the windows would never be dirty in your house, okay? But what if they were? What would you use to clean the window spray? Yeah. Window spray, brilliant, really good. And what if your shoes got a bit scuffed and they were all dirty? What would you use? Shoe polish. Right, you can shine your shoes, make them nice and clean. Or what if your hair was a little bit greasy?
Shampoo.
Okay, so all these things are things that we use to clean us on the outside, or to clean surfaces, to make things nice and clean. Adults, do you know how you get candle wax out of carpet? What? It's apparently brown paper and an iron. So you all know how to get stains out. We know how to clean things up. But the problem with us is not on the surface. The problem is not on the surface of human beings. The problem is not just with our teeth, boys and girls. The Bible tells us that the problem is inside. And the water can make us clean on the outside. And baptism is a symbol of that cleansing. But we need made clean on the inside. We need a bath on the inside because our thoughts aren't right. And our heart isn't right. You might have a really shiny, fancy computer, but if it's got a virus inside, then it won't work too well and it's not going to be any use. And in this passage in Mark's Gospel, Jesus is baptized, not because he's dirty on the inside, but because he wants to identify with us. He wants to say, this is what you need to do. He is an example to us. He goes under the water and comes back up again as a way of saying, when you go under or deep down, and when you go under the water, you will come back up again if you trust in me. It's pictured in the water, but it's performed on the cross because Jesus goes under the surface. He goes right to death and doesn't stay below the surface. He rises again to life. And so when we see this picture of Exodus in Mark's Gospel, he's saying, I'm the prophet who can lead to life. I can take you from slavery to freedom. I can take you from death to life. What's pictured in the water is performed on the cross. Okay, so we've got an episode, and we're coming to the end of the episode that we're going to think about this morning. And in this episode of the story of God, imagine that there are different characters, and Mark is handing the microphone to different people to speak. So Mark starts off, and he says some things. He says, John appeared baptizing in the wilderness, and then the microphone goes to John. And John the Baptist takes the microphone and he says, after me comes someone who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And then the microphone goes somewhere really special. Where do you think, now you shouldn't have a microphone in the water, right? Just an idea. But where do you think the microphone goes after John speaks? Just shout out. Jesus. No, the microphone doesn't go to Jesus, but we're getting close. It doesn't pass sideways in the water from, or it doesn't pass from Mark to, to John, and then John doesn't pass it on sideways, he passes it up to God. And God the Father says, a voice came from heaven and said, you are my beloved son, with you I am well pleased. Does your mum and dad ever correct how you talk?
Yes.
Yes, do they ever say to you, it's not me and him was running, it's he and I? Or you didn't, you know, you say, I specifically asked you not to touch my sweets. So it's not specifically, it's specifically. Well, there was a little boy, and he was always saying things, and his mum and dad were always correcting him. He was saying, oh, I am well tired. Or, I am well hungry. Or, whoa, that's well cool. And his mum and dad were saying, you know, you're not well tired. It's not well cool. You're not well hungry. You're very hungry. You're very tired. And they were correcting him all the time. Oh, I'm well up for that. Like, no, you're not well up for that. You would really like to do it. And then one Sunday morning in church, he couldn't believe his ears when his dad was doing the Bible reading. And they came across this amazing verse about what God the Father thought about his son, Jesus. You are my beloved son. With you I am well pleased. He's like, yes! God's well pleased, Dad. This is my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. You know, boys and girls and adults, God is well pleased with Jesus. And so, if you don't want to be in any doubt about God's opinion of you, if you don't want to question, I wonder what God thinks of me, all you simply need to do, boys and girls, is place your trust in Jesus. Because God the Father is well pleased with Jesus. And if you place your trust in him, if you invite Jesus into your life, if you surrender to him, you can know for sure that God is well pleased with you. Jesus passed through the waters. He passed through death. He defeated all our enemies. And we've no reason to fear. Let's take a moment to pray. And then we're going to continue and close off our time together in worship. Well done for listening so well. Father in heaven, we bow before you this morning and give you thanks for all that we have learned in the week that's gone past. We thank you for the opportunity to be present in this community. We believe that you've called us here for a purpose. We pray that we would make you known. That as we live, people would encounter you, that they would see the love that you have for them. Thank you for the young people that you've given to us in this fellowship. We pray that we would never take them for granted. We pray that we would enable them to grow in their knowledge of you and confidence to pass on faith to their peers and to the next generation. We pray, Lord God, that you would be with us in the weeks ahead as we discern how best to minister not only to one another, but also in this community. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I'm going to show you a brief video of photographs of what has gone on this week. Apologies if you were in the Methodist church, because I was in the Church of Ireland, so most of the photographs come from the older age group of Holiday Bible Club. It doesn't last that long, but the presentation will be on screen, and then we're going to sing again, okay? Okay.